We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Dr. Jones' message is one in a series entitled Word of Truth.
Thank you very much. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I read 8 verses from the 8th chapter of Romans. Now I want to call your special attention to this one verse. Now it's a clear-cut statement. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what does he mean when he says, they that are in the flesh? Now, this is a clear statement. Remember now, we've told you this before, that when you have a legal document, a lawyer draws up a paper, and there's one paragraph that's perfectly clear. It's just as clear as day. And I read down the document, and there's another paragraph that's obscure. Well, what am I going to do about it? I don't exactly understand this obscure passage or paragraph. I interpret that obscure passage in the light of that passage that's clear, see? And that's sensible, isn't it? Well, now, that's the same way in the Bible. Now, there are things in the Bible that may not be perfectly clear, but you are not to interpret them in the light of what that verse says. You interpret that passage of Scripture in the light of a passage that's perfectly clear. Now, let me illustrate. I know I cannot earn salvation. I know I can't pay for it after I get it. I know that according to the Bible, men are saved by grace through faith. Now, I'm saved by grace. But the grace that saves comes to me through my faith in the God who does save, see? But it's by grace. Now, that's clear. Now, I can't earn salvation. I can't pay for it after I get it. The gift of God's eternal life. Now, I know that. All right? If I lived a million years and worked every day of my life for God, I couldn't earn a place in heaven. Salvation is not something you can earn. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary so you could be saved. Now, he bought for you, so to speak, a robe of righteousness. He paid for that with his blood. Now, he stepped into my place on the cross of Calvary and bore my sins in his body. On a cruel tree, he took my place. He stood in my shoes. The lashes of the judgment that would have fallen upon me came upon him for me. All right? Now, what did I do? Well, I say, in my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And I come to him and trust him as my Savior. Now, that's the only way a man can be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. The Bible doesn't only make a positive statement of that, but it turns around and makes another statement on the other side and says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If a man could earn salvation, he'd go up in heaven and boast about it. He'd say, well, I got here all right. I did a lot of good down in that world and went about doing all the good I could, you know, and I gave my money to the poor and did a great many things. And so I got here all right. I did it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But all through eternity, the saved in heaven will glory in the blessed, wonderful, atoning blood of Jesus Christ. We're reading the Bible about a great crowd up in heaven, robed in white, and they were singing about the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Now, let's come back to this verse, this 8th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, let's find out what this means. Now, let's get it clear. Who is in the flesh? The man's in the flesh that's never been born again. See? The flesh is man as he is. It's a natural man. a baby's born in the world, and that baby comes to the world, a natural, normal little baby. He grows up. He has to live with other people. God gave him a mind. He learns how to get along and gets by in this world. And God gave him intelligence enough to operate. But there's no holiness in him. There's no righteousness in him. He has a hunger for immortality, and he's going to live forever. He can't be satisfied with material things, because that which is material will perish, and he's going to live on and on forever. But he's in the flesh. Now, you can educate the flesh, or you can polish it up, you can press the pants of the flesh, and powder the nose of the flesh, and comb the hair of the flesh. And you can do something for the flesh, as far as this world's concerned. You can say he's a man of culture. He's a man of refinement. He's a man of intelligence. He's a practical man. He's a philosopher. He's this, he's that. But he isn't a Christian. He isn't saved. Well, what's he going to do about it? He has to be born again. Nicodemus was an intelligent man. He was a gentleman and a scholar. And a religious man. You know, man tries to save himself with religion. Yes, everybody has religion. You say, I'm not interested in religion. You've got some. You've got your own religion. You're relying upon something to save you. And all religion is reliance. The thing on which you rely for salvation, that's your religion. A fellow relies upon himself, his own righteousness, or what he can do, or relies upon the faint hope that there isn't any God, and if he is, that he will let him by anyhow, you see. That's religion. Everybody has religion. You can't go into a jungle anywhere in a heathen land without finding some kind of religion. Man's always been a religious animal. When man out there in the Garden of Eden, back there, sinned against God, he went out of there. He had a religion that called him to fall. He stumbled over his religion. He felt self-sufficient. Adam and Eve were going to be all right. They're going to be independent of God. That's their religion, see? So everybody has religion. Religion never saved anybody. Jesus Christ does the saving. He hath the Son, hath life. He hath not the Son of God, hath not life. Now, you are not saved until you trust Jesus Christ. Why, there's far more hope for a man that lives in the jungle that never heard of Jesus Christ than there is for a man in this country that's heard the gospel and knows the gospel and turns his back on the Son of God that died to save him. I'd rather take the chance of a heathen that lives in the jungle that never heard the gospel than take the chance of somebody listening to me right now. Why, the first book you ever saw was a Bible. Your mother used to sing you to sleep at night with a Christian song. You saw a Bible and heard that God is love and Jesus died to save when you were a little child. You were brought up with that kind of thing. What about you with all your background and the goodness of God to you? All right. Now then he comes along here and says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now you can't do anything naturally to please God. If you ever please God, it's got to be supernaturally. Now Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, you must be born again. See? That which is born of flesh is flesh. You've been born of the flesh. You're a nice man. You're a cultured gentleman. You're a religious leader, but you've never been born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the second birth is essential, absolutely essential, if you are to be saved. Now, if you haven't been born a second time, there's no hope for you. For the man in the flesh cannot please God. Now, God sent his Son to die on a cross to save a sinner. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to die for it. Now, Jesus Christ came in the flesh to die on the cross for sinners. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He was the only person that ever walked this earth that never had to say, forgive my sin. He had no sin. He was a sinless one, clothed in the flesh, came from heaven's noonday to earth's midnight, and went to the cross and took the sins of men and bore those sins in his body on the cross. Now, Jesus Christ has righteousness. Now, you can receive this righteousness. You are saved by grace through faith in the atoning blood. But if you gave your body to be burnt and gave everything you had, and never did anything for yourself except to give away what you have and go around and work for people. It's very nice in this world. I know some mighty nice people. I like them. I know some sinners and men who are not Christians that are really, they're very sweet, lovely people. And they are mighty nice Americans, some of them. But God says in the Holy Bible that man in the flesh cannot please God. Now, there's nothing you can do to buy salvation. There's nothing you can do to walk up someday and say, well, now listen, God, I gave away my money. I try to do a great deal of good, but that won't get you there, see. Listen, it takes God's righteousness to get you to Him. And Jesus Christ, on the cross, bought you a robe of righteousness. Now, He clothes you with His righteousness. And if you go to heaven when you die, you'll go to heaven because you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. Now, a Christian can please God. When you're born again, we should, as Christians, please God. See, we should live to please Him. We ought to please Him. We ought to confess Him. He told us what to do. We ought to witness for Him. We ought to let our light shine. We ought to try to win people to Christ. We ought to pray without ceasing. Christians can please God, but that doesn't take them to heaven. Now, you'll be rewarded when Jesus comes again. Some rewards you can earn. You can't earn salvation. You can't please God to be saved, but you can, as a child of God, please God. But a man in the flesh cannot please God. You have to be born again before you can please God, and after you become a Christian, then you can please God in the way you serve Him, the way you live for Him, the way you confess Him, the way you stand for Him in this world. Now, let me ask you something. Let's don't take any chance. What do you say? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever come to Jesus Christ and said, I'm a poor, lost sinner. I can't save myself. I'm not trusting my church. I'm not trusting anybody else. I'm not trusting my baptism. I'm trusting You, Jesus. You died for me, and I'm trusting You as my Savior. I can't earn my salvation. I'm a lost person, but I trust You to save me. Now, if you will do that, you can be saved right there by your radio, right now while I'm talking to you. You can be saved. Now, Jesus Christ will impart to you a new nature. You'll become born again. He's half the Son, half life. You have His life. The life of the Son of God's imparted. Then you step out of darkness into light, out of death into life, and you become a Christian. Then you can please God. You can please God by living like He tells you to live, like a child can please a father or a mother by doing what the parent says do. You can please your parent by obeying your parent. But you're not a child because you pleased a father. You're a child because you were born and you have a father and a mother. I'm a Christian because I'm born a second time. I belong to God. I call Him Father. There's no such thing as the universal Father of God. The Bible doesn't have a word in it. There's not one word in the Bible about the brotherhood of man or the universal Father of God. The Bible says we're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a human being and related to all the human race, but I'm a brother of every born-again child of God. And there's no other child of God except a born-again child of God. Now, let's get back to it again. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say this. You make a note of it now. Now, get it clear. 8th chapter of Romans, 8th verse. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you haven't been born again, you're in the flesh. You can't please it. You have to be born again. I didn't say it. I got that out of the Bible. Our Heavenly Father, help us to meet somebody in heaven sometime because of this little message this morning. May someone who hasn't trusted You trust You and come to know You and get this saving grace of God in his heart. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. If you know you need to be academically and spiritually challenged, you know enough to succeed as a student at Bob Jones University. Why not take the first step on the journey to that success? Call 1-800-BJ-ME. Ask for a free personal opportunity profile.